Hi, and welcome to Potterware's Day 5 podcast, where we're talking about feedback. I have with me here Night Tracer and Anitsudo, and we're going to talk about feedback.
Yep.
So I thought we'd start off with our own experiences with feedback. When I was thinking about stuff to say in this podcast before we started recording, I was going through situations in my head, and I was at one point thinking, like, you know, I'm actually pretty lucky. In American Idol, I actually get a lot of feedback. Whenever I go and post a podfic, I generally always get at least, like, 5 to 7 comments right off the bat. And then I start to think about that, and, like, if most other fan works, if you're, like, 5 to 7 comments, that's not something like, oh, that's really great feedback. So I think that kind of says something about feedback in podfic. How does your experience work, Night Tracer?
No, yeah, I definitely say that if I got 6 comments, I'd be extremely happy. Very much. So yeah, I just always find it a bit odd the way some podfics will get a lot and some will get none, even though I would say they were comparably good stories or decent lengths or interesting pairings.
You're talking about different podfics by different people, or?
No, I'm just talking about mine.
Okay.
I always love it. Even if it is just someone saying, downloading, I'm extremely happy because I love to know that. And it's even better if they come back later and say that they liked it.
It's true. It's like when you go and you create something, you just kind of put it out there on the interwebs and hope that someone sees it. And, like, you can look at your download counts and that's some indication that, like, at least people are looking at it. But it's always nice to know that there are people actively interested in it.
Yeah, with the download counts, you go, does that mean, I know, 50 people have downloaded it and not liked it?
Yes, there's always that danger.
Or not even listened. It's an argument, you know, that I remember seeing it the first time about ebook piracy, where someone was like, if an author counts, you know, someone download, like 10,000 people downloaded my book, it's 10,000 sales that I haven't done, then they're really mistaken, because downloading a pirated ebook is more like browsing in the bookstore. Maybe people just download it, and many of them won't even open it and read a few pages to know if they like it until maybe a year later, or maybe never at all. And I think it's kind of the same. Like, I have a very big built-in lag between the moment I download Podfic and the moment I open to listen to it. And I do. I listen to everything that I download, but it can take 2 months, 6 months, a year. So one of the reasons I say I'm downloading is because as a Podfic artist, I like to receive those comments as well. And because I know that even if I intend to come back to say something about the recording, maybe I won't. And even if I do, even if I manage to be disciplined enough to always do it, which I'm not, but I try, it might take so long that it's completely useless to the recorder for a very long time in terms of their own practice and their own enthusiasm for their fan work, you know?
If you have to wait like a year to get feedback, and a lot of people use feedback as motivation to do more stuff, well, you're not going to get as much stuff produced if there's a year between producing something and getting motivated again.
Exactly. I'm getting good feedback at the moment, I think, because I'm partaking in a very active fandom. And I think I'm lucky in that way that I've been working, quote unquote, in rather large and rather active fandoms, and also long enough that I have name recognition and established relationships with some of my listeners.
Yeah.
In a way that, you know, the rapport makes it easier for them to feel like they can comment and banter with me, or, you know, whatever. Like, there's not this distance where they may be intimidated. So I get maybe more comments average. I don't really count. I don't know. But I would guess that I actually, for a podcast artist, I get rather a lot, quote unquote, of comments. And I'm always very surprised when people comment like 3 days after to say that they've listened to something. I'm really happy that they did. I'm really happy that they comment. But I'm surprised because compared to my own practice as a listener, it's just so vastly different.
And it says something too about like the excitement people have for your podfic if they listen to it right away. Because I know I'm like that too. There's a lot of podfics that I'll download, but it can be a year, if not longer sometimes, depending on the fandom, before I listen to it. But if it's something that I'm really excited about, like a pod figure that I really like, a story that I really like, whatever, I make an effort to listen to it right away. So that can be, when you get the immediate feedback, that also helps. It's not like something like, oh, I'm vaguely interested in. It's something, yay, now.
Yeah. Hugely flattering.
I like that with the downloading comments too, because people sometimes say downloading, I'm really excited. And I'm like, yay, this is good. Yeah.
And we also, like we talked about before, we talked about how download counts don't ping us, like maybe ping our brain in the same way. Like you were saying, you actually enjoy, like the numbers are meaningful to you and you're a spreadsheet person and you look at your download count and it means something to you. I look at my download count out of sort of vague curiosity, and it doesn't really mean anything to me in terms of emotional validation, and you know, it doesn't contribute to the enthusiasm that I have for getting more work done or feeling more connected to my fandom or my audience or whatever.
So I was going to say, I like to use it to compare stories. Like if I'm not getting so many comments, I want to kind of compare which ones are getting more interest. I think download counts can work quite well for that. But yeah, not, as you were saying, you know, actual validation.
For me, as far as validation goes, checking download counts only works if you actually check them. I host my podfix on my personal server, and my download stats refresh every month. And like, there are times that I just completely forget to check them, and then they get reset, and I'm like, oh, I wonder how much I had last month. And I mean, I'm someone who's kind of a bad mentality for promoting feedback like on the very offset, just because I'm someone who I look at those things, I look at comments and I look at download counts, and I sometimes don't give them enough credit for how much they motivate me, because I'm one of those people, like I only make podfic that I love, and so I generally am thinking of myself as the primary audience first. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that makes it easy to kind of forget how much other people like it, or downplay the value that other people liking it has on influencing me. It's because, you know, there's always the people like, oh, I don't do it for comments. And that might not be my first step, but comments are actually so important to my process, just because if I go and create something, I'll do it for myself. But when I get other people knowing that they like it, that they're interested in it, that motivates me so much to make more. Because, you know, I'm kind of weird in my brain where it's okay to disappoint myself, but it's not okay to disappoint other people. If I have it completely to myself to motivate me to make everything, then I would probably still make them, but I wouldn't make nearly as many.
Yeah, I'm doing a very long kind of pocket, which I'm doing in individual story installments, and I start off going, oh yeah, I'll do one a week. And I posted three at the beginning, thinking it's a good start. And I got lots of, yes, please do this. I can't wait for you to finish. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get on this. And I did a nice video, you know, two a week, three a week for the next couple of months over the summer. I was like, yes, this is proof. Comments do increase output.
There's a reason, I think, that even in fake writing fandom, you know, we went to waiting for a long time. I mean, I have a feeling in my own, you know, 10 years fandom history thing that chapter story where kind of the norm for a long time, and then one shots became a lot more common in some way, but now we're back to maybe not chapter stories but works in progress posted in comments on kink memes and stuff like that, because there's a real value, I think, for creators of fan work in that sort of ongoing emotional link with an audience that is waiting for the next bit. And it's very hard with feedback. It's very hard to, we can talk about counts, we can talk about techniques, we can talk about like how polite it is or not polite, or to do some stuff or to not do some stuff. But deep down, what it is about this sort of diffuse emotional thing, which is making you connected within your social circle and within your fandom to other people, and making you feel, I don't know, interesting or worth it or interested into things. So it's really hard to measure.
Yeah, because, yeah, podfic can definitely, if you know, feel, unless you're getting feedback, perhaps it's a bit insular because you're doing it on your own. And then you go, well, if no one's listening, is there any point in me posting? I could just make it for myself. And then I wouldn't have to do all the editing.
And then you wouldn't have to, like, have the stress of contacting the author and being like, can I do this? But, like, you know, plastic fandom is insular. It's, I think it's a bit less insular than it was when I first got into plastic fandom. But it's kind of, I do find it kind of insular, which was the whole reason why I decided to run PodAware, was to help, you know, diffuse some of that insular feeling, to bring more people in.
Yeah.
So do we want to kind of talk about some of the strategies we were coming up with for how podfakers can increase their feedback? I know you wrote a post about it, Anastasia. Do you want to cover some of the highlights?
Sure. I mean, I'm verbose, so I probably went on longer than I should have. But basically, it boiled down at the time, it was like about a year ago, to two or three points. The first one being, if you as a podfic artist want more feedback, probably you should make people aware of who you are, really. Aware of your role, I think, might be one thing, which is maybe, you know, PodAware, raising awareness of podfic in general. But more simply, with people who already know podfic and consume podfic, just name yourself in your file, name yourself in your ID3 tags on your, you know, on your recording and stuff like that. Because some people don't. And if you don't want to and you have, you know, reasons for not wanting to be named, then that's fine. But obviously, I think if you do and if you get more name recognition and just make it more felt that there is a person who did this thing, then you're increasing your chances for feedback. And then my second point was make yourself reachable and findable and available for feedback. So make a master list of your works, you know, create places where in your journal or your website or wherever where people can leave feedback and remind them that you love feedback and you'll be happy to get an email if they don't want to feedback you in public or whatever it is, like all these things, make it possible for people to find you and talk to you and thank you or, you know, or criticize you if that's what you want or, you know, whatever.
And I know I have some practical suggestions of one of the things I recently did was I put all my podfic up on AO3, which AO3 now accepts podfic. You still have to host it offsite, but you can, like, create a work for your podfic and a work entry.
Totally.
And that has been kind of amazing because it is so easy for people to leave kudos. And so I'm getting so many more acknowledge. It's not a comment. Well, it is a comment, but it's not a written out comment. But you just get so much more acknowledgement. I'm amazed by it, how many kudos I've gotten. Like when I look at, I have a folder of all of my feedback saved in my email, and the first page is almost exclusively kudos. So do not underestimate that. And also, there are a lot of people that search AO3 by the tags and might discover it who wouldn't normally be looking in podfic areas. So it's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, this happened to me quite recently. I was talking to someone on Twitter about a certain fic that had been written. And we were saying kink's a great thing. She said, if you like this, you know, I don't see that. It was just done a podfic. I was like, oh, okay. I will branch out of my fandom for this. And, you know, so that works. And so that's probably a really good idea, actually. AO3.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. AO3 is a good way to be out there, and it sort of, you know, creates automatically a master list for you, which is one of the reasons I started using it. But yeah, it also means you can get kudos and comments, obviously. Making a master list for my own journal took me about, like, I only did it last year, which is for me like my fifth year or seventh year of podficking. I never had made a master list before last year, and then it took me about 3 hours to put together, and now I have to maintain it, of course, but it did mean, like, a specific post. I was very surprised, but the day that I made my master list and I made it a sticky in my journal, I got comments on that post of people saying, you know what, I've actually listened to everything you did except that one, and I never told you thank you before, but I really like what you're doing. And so that was an immediate reward for maintaining a master list, was, you know, getting that sort of comment as well.
And I think pod stickers can sometimes be a little lazy about having a master list, because we'll just be like, yeah, check out my tag on the AudioFic archive, which is great if you are someone who's in podfic fandom and know about the AudioFic archive. But if you're just like a someone who's like, yeah, I downloaded my first podfic because I'd never heard of it before, and I want to leave feedback, but I don't know how, the AudioFic archive is maybe not as helpful because they would have to know about it.
Yeah. Also, if you want comments, a good idea is to direct people to your journal.
Yeah. I mean, the AudioFic archive will try and have a link to a live journal post or a DreamWidth post or something where you can leave feedback, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's just an email, which can be more intimidating. And people just like having the journal option because that's where a lot of us hang out.
Mm-hmm.
One of the suggestions I had made in a meta post a while back on streaming podfics is part of the reason why I think podfic is a little harder up for feedback than, say, fic, is that a lot of people are listening to podfic away from their computer. They'll be doing it while they're running or at the gym or doing chores or whatever, falling asleep at night. And in those situations, it's kind of hard to jump on a computer and leave feedback as soon as you're finished listening to it. There's also the lag that, like, Anitsuno mentioned about how sometimes it can be months later after downloading something that you listen to it. But if you offer a streaming option of your podfic, there's going to be a lot of people that streaming has no value for them, so they'll continue doing it however they were. But there are people that will sit and will stay on your website or on the page that they're on, listen to your podfic, and then when they're done, they're still on the page that you can leave comments on. I imagine this is more effective for shorter fics. If it's a 14-hour fic, someone's probably going to download it instead. Mm-hmm. But it's a way that people are still in the same spot, still in a place to leave immediate feedback when they're done. So that's something to consider. And I'll post a link to how to stream your podfic later with the podcast.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on this, actually. Mm-hmm. Not really, just, you know, encouraging feedback. I suppose one thing to do is say that you want it.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes feel that's a bit, I don't know, I don't really want to say in the pod, but maybe in the post say, you know, if you enjoyed this, please comment to the author. Or say that you value it, or...
I see a lot of people just leaving comments like, feedback is love.
Right. Yes, I used to say that. I haven't said that in a while, but yeah. It feels calculating, or it feels conceited, or it feels just simply repetitive. In the same way that saying thank you for feedback also feels repetitive, but, you know, every writer who has a lot of comments on their fake has that problem as well, and it's a silly problem, because in the same way that thank you for this story is good feedback to get, thank you for this podfic is good feedback to get, and thank you for your comment is nice to get when you left a comment to someone.
So even if
I feel silly saying I would like comments, or even if I feel silly saying I'm glad you liked it five times, well, it's still five times that I actually mean it. So
yeah, I definitely think that's another thing. Definitely say thank you for the feedback. And
yeah,
there's a particular podfic artist who I really like who always responds really detailedly to the comments that I've made. Like, oh, she actually cares what I have to say. And she thinks, like, that's such a great comment to get, or that was really great. It motivated me to move on to my next editing project. So thank you. And I go, yay.
Well, one, it helps create a rapport with your audience. But also, it just, like, if someone's leaving feedback after feedback after feedback and you never acknowledge it, they might just be like, they probably aren't even reading it. And they might stop. So It's good to acknowledge the feedback that you get. I need to be better at that. I'm so bad at responding to comments. It's not even funny. But, yeah, just as a general rule, that's a pretty good one to keep in mind.
There's this thing that we've noticed, like several of us have noticed, is that if you're lucky enough, when someone comments to say, I'm downloaded, I'm excited to listen to that, if you answer them that comment to say, hey, I hope that you enjoy it, and if you if you're lucky enough to time it, I mean, you can't know, but if you answer them like a few days later or whatever, there's a chance that that might remind them to come and actually comment on the recording if they've listened in the meantime.
Yeah, I've definitely had that happen to me.
Yeah, and also if they perhaps say, oh, I can't remember where I found it, they can follow the link. They can hit reply.
No, exactly. It's a sort of prompt for them to give you feedback in a sort of completely low-key, completely no-pressure way that arrives in their email most often, because most often people get, you know, comment notifications in their email. So that's a great sort of breadcrumb that you can leave to people who already have established a rapport with you, because they've already commented to you once to say, I'm downloading this. So you're not stepping on any toes. You're not being conceited or pressuring them into telling you what they thought. But, you know, it sort of builds up on the relationship that you already have.
Mm-hmm. Now, I often do say, do come back and tell me what you think if you enjoy it, but I hope I'm not being too pressury.
I don't think it is, you know. It's not a rude thing to say.
Yeah. Okay, so do we want to talk a little bit then about what can help people who want to leave feedback make it a little easier for them to leave some feedback? So I think the main topic to say here is that anything that you want to say will probably be appreciated by the podpick artist. So if you just, like, if you don't be intimidated that you don't know what to say, just saying, like, I listened to this, I liked it, is amazing feedback for Podfic artists, because, yeah, we just want to know that what we're doing is appreciated out there. So don't worry about, you know, having to leave detailed feedback. Like, if you want to leave detailed feedback, that will also be completely loved. But don't feel that you have to leave detailed feedback. You can just say, like, I listened to it, I liked it, yay.
I think, well, sometimes if you have quite an emotional response to a topic, I want to hear that. Like, do they make you laugh? Do they make you cry? Do you have some emotional connection, not just to the story, but to my reading? You don't have to say details. Just, you know, I really felt something or I was affected by it. And I'm like, yes. I put so much effort into that.
When you get people telling you that they laughed on the bus, or, you know, that they had to hide their snickering on the subway, or, you know, stuff like that, it's just always great to get.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff that's more fraught about, you know, the emotions it evokes when it makes people sad, maybe, or when it makes them horny if you're recording porn, and maybe people don't want to, you know, talk about that too much because they feel it's too private or it's too intimate, or, you know, or it's weird to tell someone that their voice is sexy or that their reading was sexy. And all that, but I want to know that. I want to know everything.
Yeah.
And if you feel uncomfortable, then don't say what makes you uncomfortable. I mean, for sure, you know, no one should have to play, you know, every card on the table if they don't want to. If you're a private person, then that's fine. But it is a thing that you can say. You can say, hey, that was really hot, I cried, but I, you know, It was affecting. Whatever you have to say, you can say it.
We had a discussion yesterday, because this is actually recording take two because I failed out and didn't record it properly. But we had an entire conversation about how there's certain kind of feedback, certain emotions or feelings that, you know, a fan work, not even just Podfic, but a fan work in general can invoke in someone that can make it kind of awkward to leave public feedback saying, that's how it affected me. And especially if someone's posting on LiveJournal, you can direct message them if you want to share that but don't want to share it publicly. Or you can email someone. And, like, knowing that, like, something that you did made someone, like, cry or something, hopefully because that was intended. It was intentionally sad, not that
not you crying because it was so bad, yeah.
Yeah, not, that's not good. But, you know, if someone feels like that and they're, like, that kind of feedback, knowing that what you did was not only appreciated and enjoyed, but, like, effective and meaningful to someone, that's, like, so validating and empowering for me as a podficker to hear that. So if you are comfortable sharing that, but maybe not sharing it in public, like, you can direct message people. You can email people, too, if that's something you're interested in doing. Same with, we had also talked a little bit about, you know, when you you listen to something and it turns you on, or it makes you horny, or sometimes you masturbate to it or whatever. You know, not everyone's going to be necessarily down with hearing that you masturbated to their voice. I personally would find it amazing because, yeah, but not everyone will, and not everyone's going to feel comfortable saying that. But there's also a lot of euphemisms that fandoms kind of worked up to, like, cover that, but it's not quite so direct or so directly meaning that, like, if you wanted to leave a comment saying, so, like, someone's really hot hotfic saying, I'll be in my bunk now, like, that's totally accepted by fandom as something okay to say. And, like, most people, if they're reading porny podfics, they recognize that they're porny and that people are probably going to enjoy them in that way. And so,
I hope.
Yeah, like, a lot of people...
It's got to be the author's intention, or the podfic artist's intention, so yeah.
Well, I mean, it might not be a direct intention. I've seen people who write very, very sexy, porny fics say that they don't intend their audience to, you know, get off as they read it. But whether you decide to get off or not, you know, maybe that's more precision that you want to leave, but... I'm interested in it, and I certainly think it's a valid response. So
I guess kind of my point of that is, if you find it sexy, a lot of us want to know, because that's awesome for us.
Yeah, I think any emotion, it really is all about an emotion. Like if you laugh, if you cry, gives you some sort of catharsis, and if it comforts you, you know, when some of the stuff that I've done that I like the best is because I know that a friend of mine finds it super comforting and listens to it when she needs comfort. And I do that as a listener with many of the podcasts that I love, is I listen to them when I need soothing, when I need company, when I need to fall asleep, or when I need, you know, someone's help to have a good cry. All these things are important, you know, and that's a part of the feedback. I mean, the thing about feedback that it took me a while to notice that I really enjoy is if people tell me, and there's no need for you to get into any emotional intimacy with it if you don't want to, when people tell me that they listen to something repeatedly, that they've listened to something of mine several times, that's even better feedback than just, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that, as a podfic listener, there are ones that I've listened to once or twice that were really good ones, but there's definitely the ones that I listen to over and over and over again. And to know that one of my podfics was someone else's over and over and over again is, yeah, just so validating and so awesome, and, like, a large part of why I do this.
Well, because for me, I mean, it's weird in a way, but I think knowing about repeat listening, it gives me the impression that I made a mark in the world, I think, even more than usual.
And it's true, and you sit there thinking, like, you know, I might be feeling really down today, but somewhere out there, someone is listening to me speak to them, and it's making them feel better.
Yeah, definitely. Her Forever Now fandom podfic is one of my favorite kind of comfort fics. So, yeah, it's kind of lovely to think about it that way.
Mm-hmm. And just, yeah. So there's a lot that podfickers are extrapolating from their own experiences of, like, so this is how podfic makes me feel. I just hope to hell that I'm giving that to someone else.
Which is something that we have to do because feedback is so rare.
Yeah,
in someone,
so
right?
If someone makes you feel that way, let me tell you how much it will make their day if you just let them know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think emotionally writers go through the same thing, but, you know, in fandom... Writers have such, like, fic writing as an activity has such primacy and front row seats that in some way everyone is aware that writers need feedback, or of what feedback does to writers, or, you know, stuff like that, because it's been a subject that's been going on for longer in some way. But that's true of fan artists, it's true of vidders, it's true of podficers as well. And maybe because podficking is putting a bit of your body out there, your own self and personality and your accent, and, you know, because voice is such an embodied thing, maybe it makes us even more emotionally vulnerable in some way. Or maybe not, because, you know, it's not our stories, so it's not our own id out there on the page. I mean, it's hard to know, but yeah, we do need the feedback to nourish this.
It sort of is your id out there, though, if only because I know, like, the stories that you choose to record are a reflection of you.
Totally, yeah.
And you know, I'm actually getting onto, like, comments that people can leave. I've had a couple comments as someone going, so I don't listen to Podfic, but thanks for posting this, because now I've discovered this fic that I hadn't heard about before, and it was amazing. So thank you for sharing that. And while that's not necessarily the main reason why we're podficking is itself inherently a wreck. I don't think there's anything wrong, and it's also still validating to podfickers to know that, you know, as a wrecker, to be acknowledged.
And talk about a fan, you know, piece of work and a fan activity that doesn't get a lot of comments. Wrecking is also a very, very lonely business most of the time, even though you're sharing the love. People rarely comment to say to wreckers, thank you for wrecking this. And I feel a sort of, you know, connection to wreckers like that, because we wreck stuff that we like by recording it, and maybe we get even more feedback than they get. I don't know. There's never enough feedback to go around, is the thing.
I do want to jump back to a point that I forgot to mention for podfickers to help increase their comments. I mentioned it yesterday, but I forgot today. One thing that can be very beneficial to getting more comments is, like, I know Patrick fandom can be very insular, and a lot of people, like, they post to Amplificathon, and where else do you need to post? But if you post to fandom-specific comms, I think, like, a good chunk of my feedback that I get regularly comes from the fandom-specific comms that I post to. Because, you know, if there's a pairing or, like, you know, an announcement post or whatever, it can be really beneficial to post there, because there's a lot of people that'll listen to Podfic but aren't in Podfic fandom because they only care about, like, their one fandom. So they're going to miss it if you only post to the Podfic places.
And the Podfic places are too high volume for them to follow, even if they sort of like Podfic in a regular kind of way. Yeah, and the unintended benefit that I've had from doing that, which I didn't do before, but I'm doing it in Inception, is when I record an Eames Arthur story, I put it on the Eames Arthur com on LJ. The unintended dissemination that I get from that is that it then gets picked up by the newsletter as well. And I don't think, you know, my project before didn't usually get picked up by newsletters, except maybe in SGA because someone, you know, in the newsletter was personally following me, maybe. But definitely pairing comms and fandom specific comms will get you more marketing in some way, or, like, allow you to reach a wider audience, which obviously is one way to get more feedback.
And I find that there's a lot of the people that are maybe much more casual listeners who read a lot more than they would listen to fic, they sometimes have, like, much more ingrained habits of always leave a comment. Because, like, I know when I say, like, I regularly get, like, 7 comments per American Idol podfic, like, probably 5 of them are from the same people who they just are really good at always leaving feedback for whatever they consume, and they treat my podfic the same as they would a fic, and so they just automatically leave feedback, which is an awesome habit for people to have, for, like, that I appreciate as someone who creates something. I appreciate other people having that habit, and I think a lot of people who are hardcore podfic listeners are just so used to, like, going elsewhere, or they consume so much that it becomes daunting to do that, to leave comments for everything. But, yeah.
Do we want to talk about what we can do to leave more feedback? Because as we're listeners ourselves, and I think we all have a different strategy, but we have strategies to remind ourselves to go and leave feedback.
Yeah, Night Tracer had a really good one.
I basically bookmark all the fics, podfics, I'm going to listen to in the next, I don't know, month. And then that way they start to clog up my bookmark menu. Like, okay, I must now remember to feedback all these, otherwise I'm going to run out of space, or I'm not going to be able to search them, or they'll be too complicated. And then I try and do a big chunk in one go and try and do 5 or 6 at a time. When it gets to the end of the week and I go, okay, what did these podpics make me think? What do I have to say about them?
And I can testify that you give very good feedback. I was very happy to get feedback from you recently. So,
yeah.
I don't bookmark stuff. I made myself a bookmarklet so that I can find a page on the audio archive really easily, that I don't have to leave the tab that I'm on or whatever. I just summon the bookmarklet and type in a search query, which usually is the title of the story that I want to, of the podpic that I want to feedback, and then that brings me to the audio archive, and the audio archive has a link on the entry to the podpic artist's journal or an email address or whatever. So I know that I'm always going to be able to find someone like that, but that's because the people that I listen to put their pick up at the audio archive, which maybe is not everyone's method. But I don't have a good, I'm maybe not a very good example in that regard, because there's so much lag between the moment I download something and the moment I listen to it, and also because I don't listen to that much new stuff. Like, I download a lot, but I listen very, very slowly because I do a lot of repeat listening. So I'm not sure. I don't get overwhelmed by amount of stuff that I have to feedback because I don't download that much, I guess.
One suggestion I would say for readers or for listeners is, don't be afraid to change the file name of the podfic when you download it, because that's one of the things that I do every time, especially if you're downloading from the AudioFic archive. It's like a random string of numbers. I'll change the podfic name or file name to include the podficker's name, and I try and make sure that it's their LJ name so that I can try and track them down to their journal if I want to leave feedback. So I'm not sitting there going, shoot, who did this? Because there's also some people that have a different podfic name, like a name that they record under, than what their LJ is. I'm thinking here of like Faye J.
Yeah. Faye J is one of these people where it takes you a year to actually find out who she is. And it's not always that long to work it out either, actually. But I know that it took me a while. And when one day I was like, oh, is that who it is?
I remember the first time I kind of clued in. I went to go leave feedback on a podfic of hers. And I'm like, oh, my God, someone went and posted her podfic on their journal. And it's linked there. And, like, it took me, like, a couple of minutes to realize, oh, maybe she has a different LJ name. Because I thought, like, someone was, like, reposting her work on her.
Yeah, the several names thing for me, who has the same name everywhere, it's sometimes I have to remind myself that people don't always have the same name everywhere. I have a friend who, in terms of, you know, elaborating strategies to give feedback, I have a friend who makes a spreadsheet of podcasts that she downloads. So it's funny because we both use iTunes and we both have iPods and stuff, but I count on iTunes basically to remind me. The way that I remind myself to leave feedback is I will go to iTunes, I will look at my most recent played, I will look at the play count on a file, and then I'll go, right, I really need to go and tell this person that I listened to their podfic 5 times last month, and it's great, because I haven't told them anything beyond, I'm downloading, thank you. But she doesn't do that at all, even though she uses iTunes and iPod as well. She just enters every podfic that she downloads into a spreadsheet at the moment of download, and she puts in a link to an entry to be able to go leave feedback later. And then she has other columns in her spreadsheet to say, I've listened to this, she only ticks it when she's listened, of course. So she can look, and at a glance, she can see that there's like 5 new podfics she downloaded but hasn't listened to yet, or 2 new podfics that she downloaded and has listened to but hasn't gone in feedback yet.
People can be so elaborate. I'm so impressed by that.
Yeah, me too. I'm really impressed. I'm like, but iTunes does all this for me, so I wouldn't really put so much work into it. But if it works for you, I mean, if you're the type of person who likes to elaborate a routine, and I am in other ways, you know, I think it's good to have a routine. And if it works for you, then totally, why not do that?
Yeah. And we're not saying people that, like, you need to have massive spreadsheets, or not even necessarily that you have to comment on absolutely everything that you consume.
Oh, of course
not. Because we don't want people to leave feedback for feedback's sake sometimes. We prefer, like, if we don't want you to say, oh, good thing, if you didn't actually like it. But we're just throwing out ideas of how we deal with it and how other people we know deal with it.
Yeah.
I know personally, everything that I consume, I bookmark on Delicious, and now Pinboard, because Delicious went boom. But I actually have little tags for every month, and if I listen to something multiple times, I'll go and retag it I'll go and add a tag for the month. It doesn't work if I listen to something multiple times in a month, but that way I can, I'm often someone who, I won't leave feedback the first time I listen to it, but like sometimes it's like, you know what? I've listened to this podcast 10 times. I need to tell them that. And it's really helpful to be like, so I've listened to it 10 times in the last 6 months. When we were talking about ways to give feedback, PodKLD made a post to Amplificathon a while back about how to leave feedback on Podfic to like help take the pressure off if you're not sure what you want to say. And I'll let you read the whole post on your own, but I'll read her bullet highlights of like five great ways to leave Podfic feedback. Number one was say you listened and enjoyed it. That's like, for a lot of us, just that is perfect.
That is enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Number two, she said you can describe your listening experience, where you were, how it made you feel. So like, you know, Anastasia had mentioned the comments that you get if someone's like, oh, I was on a bus and couldn't stop grinning.
Right.
Like, I was at work and my coworkers were looking at me funny because I was crying or something. That's a personal story. Three, she had comment on the reader's voice and style, which is getting a little more technical. But and then four, highlight specific parts you liked and why. Like, I know when I leave feedback on Fic, that's my default. I'll be like, this line made me laugh. This line, like, felt like a punch in the gut. It was whatever. So I'll just highlight that line and copy and paste it and be like, that really worked for me. And it's obviously a lot harder to copy and paste in a Podfic, but you can just say, like, that scene where this happened really worked for me. And
That's
great. I know that's same with Podfic, that tends to be my most likely thing of, like, that scene where you did it, the voices just sounded so great.
And I'm interrupting your bullet point reading, but this I think it's like for writers, this specific sort of mention of a bit that you liked particularly, it's delightful, not just because it's a, you know, specific or it's more detailed or whatever, but because what makes it great is very often you get surprises. Like, you know, sometimes I will be really proud of one line and then someone comments on that line and I'm like, yay, you know, I was right to be proud of it. But sometimes, very often, when people comment with a specific note like that, they comment on a part that I wasn't sure about or I didn't really like or just I forgot, you know, I didn't pay specific attention to. And then it makes me re-listen to my work in a you know, with a different perspective.
Yeah. Or sometimes it can be really comforting or validating where it's like, someone's like, this scene you did worked really well. I edited that scene so many times that I wasn't even sure it made sense anymore. Or
it could also
be like, I remember recording that scene. It was so much fun. So it can really help validate, like, the experience that you went through as a podficker, as a creator. And the last point on KLB's post was tell your history / relationship with the reader, which we have kind of already touched on of, like, I listen to your stuff all the time. Or one of the examples she has here is, like, I use your podcast as my comfort listens. Or, you know, even just, like, this, I listen to your voice when I fall asleep. Those are all things that can just make someone, you know, give a little glow to the podficker.
And one thing we mentioned yesterday that is very true and goes along with all these relationship building comments, which is, you know, what it is really, you're building a relationship, it gets you more positive, not just because it encourages people in general to be enthusiastic about it and to feel happier and more fulfilled when they do Podfic and thus they will do more of it, but also because when you've told someone three times that you listen to this or that Podfic from them to fall asleep, and then you happen to mention once that you really like a friend of mine did, that you really like to fall asleep to Podfics that have that are stories revolving around food, for example, because you find it comforting, then suddenly one day you will wake up and it's your birthday and a podcaster you like just recorded a story with food in it specifically with you in mind.
Yeah, I've definitely recorded podcasts, whatever.
You do stuff like that for people who are, you know, I'm not saying you have to be cold and calculating and court podcasters to get more of it, but it's what happens naturally, the way that it happens with other fan works, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, if you comment really regularly to someone, especially on a medium like Podfic that doesn't get a lot of feedback, but I think I see it even in like writers who have like a hundred comments per fic, where if you're someone who comments on everything that they do, you start to build a rapport with them and they start to recognize you. And sometimes, especially if you're willing, if you give something a little bit more than just a, hey, I liked what you did, if you're getting into some of the details, let's start the conversation. And conversations can easily turn into friendships. And, you know, and really, podfickers, I mean, a lot of us do podfic for ourselves, but, you know, if we only podfic for ourselves, we wouldn't be posting it publicly. So knowing what other people want, what other people are interested in, it has value to podfickers. And, you know, we'll try, you know, not a guarantee that we'll podfic what you want, but we want what we do to be appreciated and liked. And if you're someone who's appreciating and liking what we do, we want to show our appreciation too. So it's not something that always happens, but it's something that can happen. And it's always a nice surprise when it does.
Yeah.
And just in general, like when you're saying how when leaving feedback can promote more podfic, it can just even just, like I mentioned way at the beginning, when someone leaves me feedback, it leaves me energized to like, you know, I haven't had something like this happen to me recently, but like, you know, I had a bit of a dry spell when I was a vidder and it had been like a couple months since I had vidded and someone left me a comment saying, oh my God, they had written a rec for my vid and I saw it. And that just energized me enough that I opened my vidding program and started one on the spot. I haven't quite had that dry spell with podficking because I don't appear to ever stop podficking, but like definitely there have been times where like someone leaves a really good piece of feedback and it's like, no, I'm going to open my editing program right now so that I can give them more. Yeah. So, you know, in the end, it can result in more podfic for you.
Well, like we're just there nodding. I mean, I don't know if Night Tracer is nodding, but I was just there nodding. Yes, this is all true.
Yeah, so, you know, it's very nice to feel like you have you're getting a relationship with people who you're listening to, and you have people who always comment, and you go, you make it worth it.
And I was thinking about something, I mean, it's not, you know, I don't know if it's such an intelligent thought or whatever, but it's like, in a way, I feel as a listener that I have a relationship with the podcasters that I listen to a lot. And maybe it's the same with writers. It's the same with celebrities in some ways, you know, like you come to like the person, you come to have an idea of the person who produces all these works that you consume. But because Podfic is a voice, because it's, you know, sort of slipping in your ear, because it's so specific and so personal and so intimate, I feel like the relationship that I build with the podcasters that I listen to, it would be, it's kind of odd if they don't know that it exists. So that's part of the reasons that I give feedback. It's not just because I like getting feedback and I think feedback should be encouraged and whatever. It's also because, you know, a person whose voice has helped me in bad times, distracted me, helped me fall asleep, soothed me when I was sick or sad or whatever. It's a person I have a relationship to, and I feel odd if they don't know that I exist in some way as a listener.
There's going to be a lot of people that have a relationship with your voice, but we, as a podcaster, you can't have a relationship with those people. You can't have a reciprocal relationship unless that listener steps forward and lets you build one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah.
I think that mostly covers what we wanted to say about feedback, mostly just there are tricks that podfickers can do to try and get to encourage more feedback that you should definitely take up if you're feeling a lack of feedback. And, you know, for those who potentially will leave feedback, it doesn't have to be scary. Just go for it, and it will be loved, regardless of what you say. And feedback is also great because it means you get more podfic. So, yeah, that's this podcast, and it's been brought to you by Patika,
Anna Zuno,
and Night Tracer.
All right, thanks for listening.